This episode of The Boat Geeks is sponsored by The Boater's Guide, a free app for Pacific Northwest boaters. The Boater's Guide is adventure and information right at your fingertips, right when you need it. Find your happy place with The Boater's Guide, a free download on your phone or tablet in the App Store and Google Play.
On this episode of The Boat Geeks, we have Mr. Peter Knowles from Travels with Jordy, the YouTube channel.
The famous YouTube channel.
That's right. I think there's not enough good stuff I can say about Peter.
Yeah.
He is such an jolly, amiable fellow.
and he's a modern day Renaissance man.
Yes, he can do everything.
He can do anything, I think. I mean, he can make wonderful videos. He can fix cars. He can rebuild boats. He can work on boats. He knows beer.
Yeah. And he's working on like three or four wooden boats at the same time. He's also a glutton for punishment. But just a super nice guy. I love his personality.
Yeah.
And that's what also made me fall in love with his YouTube channel is his personality. It's just all over it. And super great guest. Super fun person. I hope he's a friend. You know, I want to, I kind of want to have beer of the week every,
yeah, I know.
Or beer of the podcast every podcast
now. That was
now.
Fun. That was a lot of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, just a unique experience. Great guy. I would totally recommend checking out his YouTube channel, Travels with Jordy. Great episode.
Here it is.
From beautiful Port Townsend, Washington, a Victorian seaport on the Salish Sea, and recorded aboard the Motor Vessel Traveler, it's the Boat Geeks with Darren and Darren.
I'm daydreaming of a day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive. Sail away. I'm gonna sail away.
Welcome to another episode of The Boat Geeks. I am your host, Darren.
And I'm your other host, Darren.
And today we have a very special guest. We're very pleased to have with us on the podcast today, Mr. Peter Knowles, who I am going to call a shipwright because I've watched so many of your videos.
I can't do that.
But I know you have a hard time accepting that title. But anyway, you're at least a very talented handyman with boats, at the very least. I'm going to consider you a shipwright.
I play one on TV.
You play there one you on go. TV. That there works. And a content creator, live aboard, boat live aboard. You're into the classics, the wooden boats. And you have a YouTube channel. You have a website. You have a YouTube channel. You're creating content out there on Travels with Jordy. You can find the website travelswithjordy.com, and you can go to YouTube and search Travels with Jordy.
We'll put it up right here.
And there will be links in the show notes as well, yeah, for sure. Highly recommend if you're interested in wood boats, if you're interested in cruising the Pacific Northwest, if you're interested in woodwork, and
if you're interested in cool guys,
creative, a very creative personality, and a hilarious guy. And behind us, his girlfriend, Andrea, who's also living on his monk with him. It's totally worthwhile. Great content, and very fun to watch with him.
And I gotta say, he's prolific with video content creation. 460 plus
466 videos.
Oh my gosh.
And you are about to, and you could be the person that does it. Put him over the top. He's about to eclipse 10 million views. So literally, you could be the people that put him over that line.
I hope you are.
Yes, exactly. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. That really means a lot. It's been a long time, and that's what, you know.
7 years,
eventually,
right?
Eventually, you pump out a fair number of episodes. Yeah. But no, I was kind of surprised when I rolled over 400, you know, and now I'm talking 400 episodes. Right. So you're right, there's more shows because of live streams and other kinds of bonus stuff. But it felt kind of cool to have been at this for that long, and it's still being as much fun as it was, really. Yeah. In some ways more fun, obviously. Yeah.
You know, cool.
Because you have more opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's just more fodder for opportunity. I mean, we got too many boats, right? You know, many opportunities.
Three many, not
yeah,
too many.
Three many. Three many. Actually, four many.
No.
Whoa.
The little Peterborough, you may not have noticed, but there's a teeny little wooden runabout in the fleet.
Nice.
And this guy has a fleet of wooden boats.
Yeah, Aaron and Nico need to meet.
We need to do an introduction there for sure.
Okay, excellent.
They're the ones with Longship Marine down in Poulsbo.
Which I'm so excited and to go
we
check
are,
out.
Yeah, we are going to introduce you. I feel like there's so much to talk about with you, but the way we typically start off our podcast is to find out why you are interested in boats, why you love boats, why you're a boat geek. And I just happen to know you are. I've never seen another person who I feel matches our passion for just every little aspect of boats. When I see you working on your boats, you can get so excited about the smallest things. Yeah. And I can just tell that you are genuine and you have a passion for boats. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. If I can jump back. Have you asked the question about how I got into boats?
Yeah.
Well, did you ask it? Okay, let me run it because are either of you familiar with the British author Arthur Ransom?
No.
And the Swallows and Amazon series. You may have heard of Swallows and Amazons. It was a TV show, it was a movie. Anyway, this is an author in the early 20s, and those who really know might correct me, who created a series of books, very much like perhaps the Wind in the Willows, you know, it becomes epic. And what's that expression from then? There's nothing quite so
nothing
much worth
quite,
doing. As doing is simply messing about in boats. Exactly. Well, it's sort of that same era. It's that same feeling. It's an English understanding of boats and young people.
Yeah.
So these are a series of, they're children's books, but they're about boating and they're about building a passion for boating. And my father, God bless him, a boater and a man with a passion for boating, had been given these books when he was a child and he passed them on to me. Footnote, I just eBayed. I successfully purchased another vintage set and having them shipped directly to my pregnant daughter in Nova Scotia who's going to give birth to my grandson this summer.
Congratulations.
So those books will move on to the... Yeah. Anyway, so for those of you who are listening that know of the Arthur Ransom series, it is a fantastic first introduction to the passion of boating. Not just the romance of it, but really the nitty-gritty, how to fix it, how to sail, how to deal with problems with boating, how to deal with the culture of boating. So that did it. Of course... Again, I grew up boating because my dad was always into boating.
Well, what age were you when you started reading the series of books?
Oh, would have been quite young. I'm really bad at ages. Six? Can I just guess six? Yeah. We can say that's okay.
Close enough.
But I was sailing at like four. My parents rented a cottage in the Eastern Townships of Montreal, which is Lake District of Quebec. And I grew up in Montreal. And they always rented a cottage and they would build a boat every summer.
Wow.
Just for the heck of it. Catamarans, big boats, small boats, whatever. Wow. And just to spend the summer half building it, half sailing last year's boat, which, you know, they might have beat up by now, and then experiencing a new boat and you had to spend all winter designing it. There was a lot of beer involved. And
it was just so the culture.
And I was the only kid.
Yeah.
Because none of my parents' friends had kids yet. So I basically grew up almost as an adult with these people. They never treated me like a kid. I was just another person. Basically, when they need someone small to go down into the bills, and, hey, Peter, get down there and, you know,
I do understand
here's a
that.
Drill. I know. You'd do anything for that, right? And to me, it really cemented that passion for making, building. My father made and built stuff. He worked always in an engineering sense. And I just carried on making and building stuff. As you may know, if you've been following the show for a while, I designed and built custom homes for a while. Did that in Nova Scotia, making and building boats, endless boats. I can just go on, but you have to ask me another question.
Well, and that woodworking obviously translated to wood boats very well.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That works out pretty well.
But you didn't come out to Victoria until 2014.
Yeah.
And there was there a period where you were not knee deep in boats.
So the child raising years.
Oh, those.
The trying to start a viable business and build, you know, viable life for your family to move forward. Mm-hmm. Exactly. My wife and I, when my first child came along, we moved from Montreal down to Nova Scotia to live by the sea and do a lot of boating. Mm-hmm. To Lunenburg, Nova Scotia. I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's...
I want to go.
Very, very... Like, it is the Port Townsend of Canada.
Nice.
Very boat-oriented. The racing schooner Blue Nose is from there. It's on our dime.
Okay.
It was built there. It lives there today.
Well,
it doesn't. The third generation of it does. Anyway. But, you know, life sort of got in the way and we didn't do that much boating. I planned to, it just didn't necessarily work out that well. But I did build a lot of really nice custom homes. So I spent a lot of time woodworking. Mm. So I could say my total move forward was still moving forward because I was honing that skill. Right. And when the opportunity came along, and that opportunity, as opportunities sometimes happen, came as a result of a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, I was building something that I don't have anymore, so I don't need any of it. So I literally, as maybe you've seen in one of the episodes, just packed it up, got in that Land Rover and started driving around.
All the way across the country.
Well, right? Actually, first right? down, the classic thing for a Nova Scotian is to get warm. Right? So you head south. It's always head south, you know? So I went down the coast. I was towing a big old Airstream and Florida, Louisiana, New Orleans. I mean, have you been? I mean,
yes.
Right. Yeah. You know,
crazy.
I know it's
place.
Crazy. And I end up on a beach in Texas and lived there for a while, ever so slightly too long, according to Homeland Security. Anyway, and but then what happened? And I guess what you're asking at when I arrived in Victoria, I'm running too long and all this stuff.
No, you're not.
It's
not
good,
at all.
It's good. Oh, it's good. Yeah. Anyway. I did that by the time I was going to do that 2 years, because 6 months in, 6 months out. And when I say too long, I mean like a day, like not a big thing. Anyway, second time down, I was kind of running out of RV steam. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys are big RV guys, and I thought that was going to be my life, traveling forever in an Airstream towed by an old Land Rover. And I don't know what I thought I was going to do. At that time, I was doing software development and it was fine. I could do it remotely. Anyway, but there's this thing that I often say, and I'll say it here, is that, you know, if you're on the go all the time in an RV, you're cool and you're hip and you're a traveler. You park somewhere for a week, you're an old guy living in an RV. You know what I mean? And I started to get that vibe, you know, because I wasn't super wealthy. So I'm not staying in super nice places. I'm kind of stealthing here and there and everywhere. Yeah. And it got kind of, I didn't feel great about it. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to go to England and live on a boat. I have dual citizenship. I was born in London.
Cool.
But I had Geordie the dog, right? Couldn't get Geordie into England, not quickly anyway. So I had to juggle, and winter was coming, and I had lived in Victoria for 1 year when I was a kid, and it's warm in winter.
Oh, yeah.
So it met that first criteria, right?
Yeah,
got to go somewhere warm. I don't want to do snow and ice anymore. Sure. So, you know, I roared across the country in December of 2014, blizzard in the Rocky Mountains. I never should have made it through. If they'd pulled me over, no chains, no, I mean, it would have been end, you know. I just, by the time I slid down the mountain, you know, the highway into Hope, into Vancouver, and the blossoms were out. Well, they weren't quite, it's the fall, but good story. Anyway, I just thought, okay, thank goodness. And I was going to stay, I don't know, a little while and get a boat and then keep going. I was going to get a sailboat and go.
Go where?
I mean, around the world.
Around the
what
world.
What do you do? We got a sailboat. Just go. You know?
Really go.
Yeah, exactly. And but I fell in love with monks. And
how? You know, how did that happen?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think originally I said I was going to go to England because I really like the culture of English boats. Now I'm talking old English boats. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to refer back to those of you who are fans of the Arthur Ransom series, which I talked about a few minutes ago. Two of the books are set in the Broads. Now, the Broads are a series of inland canals and lakes in semi-north, sort of mid-eastern Britain. And there's a style of wooden cruiser there that's very, what I call elegant. Think monk.
That's,
okay?
Yeah, you know what I mean? What I was picturing.
Very simple, long, easy to push, single engine, efficient. You know, I grew up in the era of big crisscross constellations with twin big blocks in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not something you can do in 2024. I can't anyway. So
sure.
The prospect of a boat that could be pushed along at a reasonable speed at a gallon an hour sounded very exciting to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I come out to Victoria and I'm kind of just enjoying it not being gold. And I'm living in an RV park that's associated with the marina. And there in the marina is this beautiful, and when I say beautiful, I mean an absolute wreck.
Right.
Very
but
nice
beautiful
lines.
To the,
exactly.
Yes.
Very nice lines. If you've seen the first episode that where I bought a boat, that's her.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What kind of boat is that? And someone said, oh, that's a monk. They're famous out here. I said, well, I want it. I want one just like that. And lo and behold, you know, cut to the chase, that was Geordie. And it happened to be for sale for exactly $5,000 more than I should have spent on it.
Mm-hmm.
because wooden boats should be free at that level, pretty much, or a dollar or whatever. But
Darren will agree with
you.
Yeah,
it started. Yeah, come on. Anyway, I ran with that way too long. No, but that's good.
No, that's
how I got
super interesting.
Victoria. That's how I got to Victoria.
So I grew up reading Horatio Hornblower.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, and that was before I knew I was into boats, but I loved that series, and it was the sense of adventure, which has carried on into my interest in boats today. Yeah. I love the idea of just setting sail, you know, second start of the right on the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adventure.
But I also read a Canadian book that is now my favorite boating book. I can't remember her name, Curve of Time.
Oh, yes.
And Wiley
absolutely.
Blanchett.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a beautiful book.
Fantastic really story. And I didn't know about that until I got out here and I read that. It was my inauguration.
I gift that to everybody now.
Yeah, we had given that as a Christmas gift many people. Yeah.
But I understand the books getting you into that sense of adventure and that's what all these books did for me as well as inspired. Sure. But that's a great origin story, you know, like, I mean, man, and I, you know, it totally makes sense because as we noticed in his videos, absolute passion for boats. He's another honorary boat geek for sure. And that makes sense that you've been around boats since you were a little kid. And wow. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you had that life so that we could enjoy the content
so
that you're creating today.
So am I. Yeah.
And now you obviously have a taste for classics and vintage vehicles and so forth. So do I. You know, I would attribute that to my dad. He had a 73 Corvette and he always loved the older vehicles and that's what he worked on and the lines and the curves, right? So that's what translated easily to boats for me. As soon as I saw all these classic boats, to me, I'm like, these are beautiful boats. What happened to, you know, with modern boats? Because they just look shippy or whatever is the term that we, you know. I just appreciate the old look as well. And before I got the Matthews, I looked at a lot of Monks. They are beautiful boats.
They really are. Yeah. So I mean, and the Matthews is a classic. And it's a custom too. So, you know, it's a very, very beautiful boat. But the Monks, it's funny, we get on the Coho this morning, the ferry, which is the ferry that brought me here from Canada. And it was built in 59. And the main cabin windows on the side have the exact same rhythm and curve as those old Monks.
Yeah.
And so I just look up and I say, it's like a great big
Yeah.
And it docks 200 yards from our boat.
You're right there.
We woke up 200 yards from where the Coho left this morning.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you posted a video or something, maybe it was a short. You don't do a lot of shorts. You have one in there, which is great because that means all your content is, for the most part, full length.
I don't understand shorts.
Yeah, I know.
We're starting to. We'll talk to you about that.
Painful necessity. But you're. I totally lost track. What was I saying?
Something about the ferry in Victoria.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You posted some content about how much you love ferries. And Darren and I are the same way. I think that's when you just love boats so much.
Yep.
Anything that's floating.
Exactly.
That could get you from here to there.
Sure.
But we really like the BC ferries compared to the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No knock. I mean, I understand.
The Washington State ferries are great.
Yes. Right?
They're just not as pretty.
What was the ferry that they just brought back to life for the Polsbo event?
The Carlisle?
It was an old classic.
Okay.
Yeah, that was an old one.
Yeah.
And I thought of you
really? Okay.
because of your love of ferries too and boats. Right. But anyway, we got to get you hooked up with Polsbo.
Yeah, okay. Well,
we're going to introduce you to the whole town of Polsbo.
More boating communities.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in for that.
It's going to be another destination.
We were talking before we started about, you know, the love of boats and it's also the community. It's the people.
Oh,
I mean, all the people we meet.
Yep.
Just walking down the docks,
yep.
You end up talking to somebody for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
so
many boat owners are animal lovers and dog lovers. So I told you before we started recording, when I first found your channel, I immediately recognized two things, your love of boats and your love of dogs, which immediately puts you on my, this is a great person list. So you've had some great dogs in your life and I can see how much you get attached to even your friends' dogs and pets all around you. And, you know, I always wanted to say condolences for Jordy.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I think it's awesome that you're carrying on, the channel in his name and you do your intros and respect that. And I can just see your love of dogs. Mm-hmm. Andrea's new dog, or yep. Andrea's dog. And then yep. you have Finn as well, which yep. is again, Zephyr's. Yeah. So I love that aspect. Yep. Very happy to finally have you on the show again.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Speaking of a revolving list of characters, you have some people that show up regularly on your shows.
Yeah.
But what I was discussing with Darren earlier is another thing that's really, I think, sets you apart and makes your channel really cool is how involved you are with your viewers. You yeah. are so engaged with your community, and they are so engaged with you, mm-hmm. whether that's supporting somebody living aboard Palm for right. a few days yeah. or, yeah. Projects that you're working on or whatever. That is gold to have a community like you mm-hmm. have. And I just really respect that. I respect your engagement yeah. with your community. Yeah. I think it's a great thing that you've been able to build this, and obviously they're appreciating it as much as mm-hmm. I am, you know, and being able to live vicariously through you. Most of your content, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is for the most part projects, right? Like
yeah.
You're doing specific projects. So obviously yeah. all your viewers just love doing this with you, whether they're learning, whether they're reliving stuff that they did, or get to just, you know, like me, I'll never be able to do that stuff because I just don't have the time to
don't
learn
say
it.
That. Well, yeah, don't say
I
that.
I never say never, but you know, yeah, like
because I think I can build sliding cabinet doors now.
Now sure. I feel like
and
I could.
I can put the hinges in yes. on the. Yeah, I could do that.
So,
now.
Do you know if you are educating people like within your communications with your community?
Yeah, I think I am. I mean, I get a lot of comments back saying I never would have tried. Yeah. Something.
Right.
And that's what I love to hear the most, because I really believe in the culture of trying. Just yeah. just take a risk and go out and do something that you didn't think you could do. Because not that does a couple of things for you. First, it's wonderful for self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful for you just expansion, because once you've learned to do something, it's opened up another mm-hmm. whole view on a community, perhaps. Or just something about, that you learned about yourself, you know. And then to go with that, we have to live in a society where things are repairable
yes.
or can be made, you know, and we're moving on to a, you know, I'm not going to pull my phone out of my pocket, but I can't
everything
fix
has
that thing.
3 years shelf life
exactly,
and then
you know,
it dies. Yeah.
You take, I drive a 62 year old Land Rover, which can be perpetually repaired. You know, the boats can be perpetually repaired yeah. if there's wood.
Yeah.
I really think I love that culture, because not only is it, I think, you know, ethically and environmentally responsible. I think it's what we need as a community. And if we don't learn, if we don't pass on skills to our children or our friends or people that we don't even know across the internet, mm-hmm. then we're not meshed anymore. You know, if we're all sitting, walking down the street, thumbing, swiping, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a community. That's all consuming. You know, we're not giving anything. So that's what I really like about it. So to answer your question more fully, because yeah. I wanted to go off on that sure. other tangent there.
I liked it.
Yes. Lots of people are very kind and say, I learned how to do that. I did it a little bit differently because of the way you do it. Mm-hmm. I never thought of holding it that way or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel good, because it means that, you know, whatever it is I'm doing, you know, other people are enriched by it. And that nothing makes you feel better than that.
That's
I mean, you
true.
Guys are doing that. People are enriched by your show, right? So it and that was a totally secondary thing. You know, I didn't expect that part. I thought, you know, people would just want to watch sanding. I started watching, you know, Mads of Sail Life. I don't know if you know the show, but anyway. And I said, wow, if he gets paid to sand, I'm going to try.
And the amazing thing is yeah. that you built it and they came.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
you have yeah. a really solid, obviously, community that's supporting you. And,
sure.
and
the projects, though, how many of them are something that you're doing for the first time?
A lot.
I mean, you're teaching
yeah, yeah.
yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is, yeah. that's phenomenal.
Well,
to put yourself out there,
sure.
I'm going to show you that I'm going to do this.
Right.
And then you
and hopefully
do
it. Works.
Well, that's a great thing is that work. You're self-effacing and you don't have an ego, which is mm-hmm. so important to mm-hmm. me in terms of teaching people. And like, I can watch it and not feel like I have no skills, you know, right. Like I can actually watch your videos and feel like I could learn this.
Yeah,
and I love when you discover or either discover you've made a mistake or you should have done something differently, or even your community calls you out and you say you called me out and you were right. Just for example, like the fly bridge that you're, you're, you know,
and well, it gets worse this week.
But again, it's just such an approachable channel and so educational and entertaining. Just wonderful work.
Well, I think my favorite part, though, when you tackle a project, whether it's the first time you're doing that particular type of project or it's something you've done before and you're finished, you love it.
Yeah, you have
that
pride. You're like,
wow, that turned out really great. Yeah. And just the surprise sometimes, I
don't know better than I thought.
I can relate. There are so many things I've done on this boat where I've never done this before, but I went to YouTube University and watched five guys do it.
Yeah.
And so I averaged everything out and then I did it. And wow.
I actually
did that.
Exactly. There you go.
It's so a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. You
do. Likewise. Yeah. You know?
And I think a very important part that you touched on is that you are helping people learn those skills, because I very much feel like we're on a path to future generations not having some basic skills.
You got a couple hours?
Yeah, I know. We both have kids. Yeah. And so, you know, we are very aware of, you know, what the youth are being taught and the you know, just like you said, everybody's on their cell phones and that's kind of like people are becoming more and more comfortable just being in their homes on their devices and not being outdoors, building, learning, you know, establishing basic skills.
Yeah.
You know, I blew it growing up in that I didn't establish some of those basic skills. Like I said, master of none or jack of no trades, master of none. That's basically where I'm at. But I appreciate it. And so I think it's amazing to have those resources out there for people like Damien and other young people to be the future of shipbuilding and shipwrights. And it's exciting.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So thank you for being another educational source out there.
Well, thank you very much.
For the world.
I feel good about that.
Do you have, do you ever check out your metrics and see where your viewers are coming from?
I do now and then. Yeah. I'm not sure I understand them properly. I watch videos about how to understand your metrics, you know, and I go, okay, well, let me have a look. I can figure out where they're from. If that's your question, US obviously is number one by a long shot, followed by the UK before Canada. And then Australia and Canada kind of flip back and forth for third place. And then a lot of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
They got a lot of wooden boats up there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And they love their boats.
And they love them.
Yes.
Yeah. In Australia, they're called timber boats.
Right, exactly.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know enough about Australia to go, like, is it all coastal? Like, are there any inland waterways in Australia?
I don't think so. Not much. Not navigable.
Yeah. I know something like there's the Hobart River. Now I'm really sounding.
There's some rivers you can go, but it's not, they're not going to have like the channels in UK or whatever.
Canals. Or the beautiful inside passage that we enjoy here in on the West Coast.
But this anyway. Is so unique.
Oh my gosh. It's great for wooden boats too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is paradise up here.
I'm going to get a wooden boat.
Okay. Good man. Good man. And you should hang on to yours.
I know.
Come on now.
I got to learn your skills. So I just got to keep watching your channel.
Just got to keep watching the show.
When you started this channel in 2013, what did you have any idea? This was back when you had your Land Rover, you had your Airstream, which you still have both?
No.
No?
That's a different
Land Rover?
I have the Land Rover. Sorry, I don't have the Airstream.
Okay. So were you just like, hey, this YouTube is an interesting thing. I think I'm going to create, what was in your mind?
Well, kind of, because what I was also doing was leaving where I'd lived and raised my family. Yeah. So for instance, my two young daughters who were off in university weren't coming with me and I wasn't going to live next door to them anymore. So I thought for sure, this is one way to sort of connect and keep them up to date, keep old friends up to date, whatever. I wasn't a neophyte to YouTube. I actually did a bunch of Land Rover stuff on YouTube in before, like the building of this truck and some other road trips and stuff. It all started out with a series a long time ago where we built a Land Rover in one day out of spare parts. It was fun. Called 88 in a day, 88 referred to the wheelbase. Anyway, so I'd been YouTubing for a while, so I had no trouble just doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not quite sure when the show started because you say 2013 and it's true, but what I did, I actually shot.
That's just when your channel was established.
So in your description, it says you started in 2013, but your first video was 7 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was shooting, but didn't know if I was really going to do this.
Yeah.
So through my sort of second year in the U.S. and coming out here and this and that, I shot, but I didn't really know what I was going to do next. So I wasn't actually publishing. So for the first, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 episodes, I was catching up.
Yeah.
And I can't remember when I caught up, but around the time I bought the boat, I guess.
Yeah. Instantly, you had the charisma and the ability to, like, your very first intro is as good as your intros that you're doing today. And I don't mean that as
in other words, you're not improving.
No, I knew you were going to say that. That's not what I mean at all.
I know what you mean. I'm sorry. But thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. It's funny, you know.
You're natural.
Andrea said to me this morning, we were on the bow of the coho, and I grabbed the GoPro and I said, oh, we're going to do an intro. And she says, how do you do that? Yeah. I said, I don't know.
Is this a switch?
I guess so. Flip. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. And it's one of those things that you don't know that other people don't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I didn't really understand it. Like, I've tried to encourage people to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've actually taken it fairly seriously. They said, okay, I'm going to. Right. And then they just can't. And, you know, I feel bad that it didn't work for them. But I guess it's just a skill.
Thank you.
Yeah. Or a phenomenon or something.
We watch a lot of YouTube channels. Yeah. I've been involved with, I mean, I started my YouTube channel in 2006.
Right.
Long time ago, and all in the marine world. So I've been on the periphery and then watching and so forth. And there's this incredible range of quality. Mm. Okay, so what you've got going is not just quality in terms of using your camera, like we were talking about. I mean, you can walk and in this one smooth move, end up right where you are and continue talking. That's a skill. You can't really.
GoPro gets a lot of credit for that.
Well, but you can't teach a lot of that.
Yeah. I've seen GoPro footage by people that don't have those skills.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
But it's, it comes down to, for us, mm-hmm. as we're starting to see, it comes down to personality. Mm-hmm. And you have a personality that is transferred through the camera, through your editing, and it doesn't change. So you're natural at it.
Okay.
And I think the bottom line is when you watch Travels with Jordy, people can try to take apart the quality or the, you know, the mechanics and the editing and the camera, whatever.
Mm, yeah.
My wife doesn't even like watching movies with me sometimes. Right. But the bottom line is when you watch your videos, the viewer is smiling.
Yeah.
And it's transferring from you mm-hmm. to the viewer. And it's an emotional response.
Yeah,
we can learn how to mortise something in the wood, but at the same time, it's an emotional connection. I mean, you run into people probably that you've never met that feel like they know you.
Sure. Yeah, no.
You know, that's a privilege in a way. It can also be.
No, it's a privilege. It's certainly at the point where it's manageable. So it's, you know, there's no. It is nice that people really feel connected with me. And when we meet them, they're super kind and they're super, you know, just shake your hand. Didn't want to keep you too long, but nice to say hi. You know, I feel like I know you. That is a nice thing. And if you say, like, you actually touched me just there, you're saying that people smile when they watch mm-hmm. your show. Well, that's, I can't think of anything more I'd like to do than that. You know, that done.
That was me.
I'm done. My work here is done.
Every time I feel your passion, well, it could be for boats or dogs.
Right.
Really, it is for both. Whenever I feel it, I feel it. Like I'm one of those people that sits there smiling. Right. When I can tell you are genuinely happy, which you are, I've never seen you fake it. That totally translates to me. And I think you nailed it on the head that people that enjoy your channel, it is it's an emotional attachment and very much a personal thing. I do feel like I know you. Obviously I met you today, but I feel like I've known you for a very long time.
And it's nice that you're able to, you know, not be standoffish. I mean, your co-countryman.
Right.
He was a famous rock and roll drummer who died a few years ago, and he had a famous line. He says, "I can't pretend a stranger is a long-awaited friend."
Oh,
and
are we talking about Pert?
Yeah, Neil Peart.
Yeah,
Rush. So,
say it American, Pert.
Pert. Yeah.
Peart.
Oh man, I grew up with those boys.
I know. Yeah.
Well, they were Toronto. Yeah. You were Montreal.
But
could you repeat this quote one more time? I just need to take it.
I can't pretend a stranger is a long-awaited friend.
Yeah.
Because he had a real tough time with fame.
Yeah, he did.
And celebrity.
Yeah.
So. Nice that you're able to get right down in the trenches with your fans.
Yeah, I mean, if I was to say the inverse of that, I would not say I was pretending they were a long-awaited friend. I'm saying I'm finally meeting someone who I will consider a friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's no pretending in it, even if it works out. But yeah, I know it's very interesting, yeah.
Boats.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about boats.
Oh, let's.
So I did a little bit of digging, because now I've watched your channel for a long time, but as I don't watch every episode because I just am overwhelmed with, you know.
No, I'm hurt.
Yeah, I know. I have not watched 466,
right.
But I have watched a few dozen at least. But there was always an element of confusion for me in terms of, I see this monk, but that monk doesn't look like the monk that I was watching in the last.
Right. Or in the intro or in the outro.
So
can you help Darren out?
So here, let's do the timeline. Let's do the timeline.
The timeline, that's what I was looking
exactly.
for.
Okay, so arrived, I think I mentioned a little earlier, bought a wooden boat, a wreck of an old wooden boat. That is the boat now known as MV Geordie. It was called Kiora at the time, which I believe is Kiwi for how you doing or good friend or something like that.
Right.
It was a nice name, but it didn't suit me. It didn't do anything for me. And I knew I would lose Geordie someday.
Yeah.
And because I just felt I wanted to always be traveling with Geordie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's MV Geordie. And so I lived on that for about a year. And then I sold my Airstream. And I sold my Airstream on Craigslist and met a woman through Craigslist. That woman, you all know as Lady Zephyrus. She bought my Airstream. And I delivered the Airstream to her and we started talking a little bit. And, you know, we kind of got along a little bit. And so we were a couple for a brief period and a very happy period. And what we found that we both loved was wooden boats.
Mm.
So she said, I want one of these. I don't want the Airstream. you've converted me, you know? So find me a wooden boat. Well, the very first wooden boat I looked at, actually, kind of a fib on my previous story, was not Geordie, was a boat at that time called Andromeda.
Oh, wow.
Owned by a very interesting young shipwright. His name is Scott Dressler. He appears a few times later in the series. The boat had a very, very nasty horizontal turbo Perkins 6 in it, was leaking a lot of oil, and I couldn't stand up in the house. So I dismissed it. But Lady Zephyrus is shorter than me. And I'm getting good at swapping engines. So I said, why don't we get you this boat? You'll be fine with this boat. So I set her up with that boat and she absolutely loves it. We've done a lot of work to it. If you've been following along, you know, swapped another engine into it, done a lot of work to it.
And what year are these boats?
Now it's really neat. Geordie's 53, Edwin Monk, built in Nanaimo in 53. Zephyrus is 54, built in Nanaimo.
Whoa.
It's 8 registry numbers apart.
No way.
Wow. Yeah.
So federal registry, like
that
in
is
all
so
of
cool.
the country, yeah. it was only 8 boats later registered. Not built in the same yard, but I swear by some of the same shipwrights.
Sure.
Because I've been in the belly of both boats. Mm-hmm. I see techniques, you know, that's a dead giveaway from a personal way of working.
Yeah.
So that's Zephyrus.
Okay.
Are they
was
both
renamed Zephyrus.
38s?
No. Geordie is it's actually a 40, and I didn't know that until the marina came and measured it. Now, I wasn't fibbing, really. I wasn't.
Yeah.
And if I can only take a slight deviation, it's because at that time, from what I understand, and someone on your show will correct me, length of a boat at that time was from the stem to the rudder post. Very strange.
Yeah,
if that's correct, whatever. So Geordie is registered as a 38, but it is actually physically 40 feet long plus 2 feet for this rim gun. So, okay. Geordie is a 40. Zephyrus is indeed a 36. Those 4 feet make a huge difference. Like
including headroom, right? Because everything's shrinking. Yeah.
They're not just, it's not just a bigger boat. It's really quite different design. You don't see it right away, but it is. It's amazing what those 4 feet do, you know, because in width and in depth and everything, Geordie is a much bigger boat.
Yeah.
Zephyrus was in better shape to start with, significantly better. And a lot of work had been done by the shipwright. Now you will notice that Zephyrus has white cabin sides.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mahogany boat. It was originally bright, but it had had too many repairs to be really justified to stay bright. So the previous owner had painted it, and honestly, it sort of, that's the way it looks now. It's beautiful. We love it, and it's just fine. And it does mean major repairs, subsequent major repairs can be done without.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fix that up and slap some more paint on there, yep, you know. Yep.
That'll cover it up.
You may know that I am looking to actually redo the entire cabin sides on Jordy, which is a massive job. Yeah. Because I have the same problem. When I bought Jordy, it was all painted too. But I wanted to bring it back. But as soon as I took the paint off, it's like, oh.
That's why.
Yeah. And ever since, I've been kind of nursing it along, thinking I could patch and patch and patch, and it's time to take it. Anyway, I'm too many deviations. We'll move on. The next boat is Poem, which is also
from
an Edmund Mung.
Larry.
Lloyd.
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 I meant
actually,
Lloyd.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Friend of mine from Nova Scotia came out and said, listen, I'm loving this life. I'm going to come out and live this life too. I'm going to buy a wooden boat and we're going to do it. So we found him a really sweet little wooden boat. It was in Everett at the time.
Nice.
American boat built in Seattle, 1937. Yeah. It's a pre-war boat.
Wow.
And it's by far the best condition of the three.
And how, and it's what size?
It's 27 feet.
27?
7 feet is Poem, little Poem. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's light. It's like a little wooden motorboat. When you're driving it around, like it kind of leans when you turn.
Yeah.
And you approach a dock and just kind of go, you know. It's a sweetie. It was down here at the festival last year, and it'll be back coming back this year.
Okay. Oh, good.
Andrea and I are living aboard it right now in Victoria.
That's the one that you're living aboard.
That's the one we're living aboard.
That's why I was getting confused.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and just make all those things confusing. The closing sequence of the show is Jordy walking across a swim grid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was such a great, my dog, Jordy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Such a great shot. I needed to use it. However, it's the boat is Zephyrus.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. It's all part of the history of what
of course.
Went on. Yeah, exactly. And it's also interesting that you mentioned the intro. You know, I'm always trying to think of how maybe I have to revamp this intro a little bit. So I keep thinking I'll do that. And
you just don't, though. Your intro is great. Yeah. Your intro, once you get, you know, once you've watched a few episodes, you want that intro. I don't know.
Yeah. People say that. People say they say along with me.
You keep saying you want to, I'm going to do a new one. But why?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Why fix something that's not broken?
I don't know. Exactly.
You're already fixing enough things with boats.
Yeah, so, both.
So you have this fleet of three monks. Plus you said you have a fourth.
Have you ever heard of a little Peterborough? It's a Canadian version. In the 40s and 50s, canoe companies realized they were missing out on a massive market, and that was the emerging interest in little speedboats for families, up-and-coming families. Okay. So canoe companies, both in Canada and the U.S., and I forget the name of the one that built almost the same thing in the U.S., started building canoe-styled little wooden runabouts, 14 feet, 16 feet, little foredeck on them, little plexiglass curved windshield,
and
they throw like a 25 horse on
the back. I don't think I've ever seen one.
Oh, yeah, they're adorable.
So you're just saying it looks like a canoe?
Well, it's built like a canoe. So it's small little ribs and strip planked and cedar.
Wow.
Very light. Two people can carry it around.
Yeah.
Which is why I can jump up on a plane pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I owned one in Nova Scotia. In fact, it was one of the few boats, you were asking me if I was doing any boating there, that I actually bought to take my family boating.
Right.
Didn't do it very much. But anyway.
Yeah.
And Lady Zephyrus grew up in Ontario. Also grew up with one of these in Lake Country, north of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And when this thing popped up, she just said, I got to buy this and do something with it.
Yeah.
Well, what we'll do with it, I'm not quite sure yet. There's many, many people out there that say, what are you thinking? But anyway, it's just a sweet little runabout.
Yeah.
That's the story on that one.
So how are you decide? Okay, so you obviously Zephyrus is her boat.
Yes.
And she cruises with you or has cruised with you quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that means you now have Poem and Jordy.
Yeah.
How are you determining which one you're living on and why? And
if you have an idea, we're all yours. Really? just could you just please? I'm currently working on this massive spreadsheet trying to figure out what boat will be where.
Yeah.
And
what you're doing.
What
with
I'm
it.
Doing to it. And is there any content?
Yeah.
And I got to go east and see my daughter. Anyway, so that is a good question. Mm. If I back up a year, it was super easy. I'd just gotten Poem.
Yeah.
Lady Zephyrus, I just bought the shed.
Right.
She bought the shed because she's going to have that wooden boat for as long as she possibly can, but she knows I'm eventually going to leave. So she wanted to make sure there was a place that she could hire a shipwright to work on the boat when that was necessary. You know what I mean? She'd just stay in somewhere.
Which is in Genoa Bay.
Which is in Genoa Bay, which is just north, about an hour and a half north of
what Virginia. A great workspace that is.
It is a great workspace.
Yeah.
So then that were, and she says, and I'll rent it to you for when you need it. And I just got Poem. So I thought, okay. I had the privilege of staying right downtown Victoria on Jordy at the Empress. So I started to commute. So I'd go up three days a week and work on Poem in the shed. That was a great life. I could keep content going. Mm-hmm. I could sort of come home for the weekend, which was really nice because for years and years, I worked inside Jordy with sawdust everywhere,
yeah.
like
yeah.
table saws Tough. Inside. And so I'd shake out my bedspread at night just to crawl into, you know, really, it was rough. It was rough. And I said, I want to move away from that, you know? And so that worked out great. Poem came along quite a ways. So the idea was to flip this year, live aboard Poem downtown, and work on Geordi in the shed. Mm-hmm. The main chunk of that work was new cabin sides. Mm-hmm. Without drawing out too far, I just couldn't get wood. Good wood.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm here, by the way, listeners. I'm buying fabulous wood in a local business here, which should I name?
Eden Saw. I think a lot of the woodwork people on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. They know that. So I'm very excited to pick up a big chunk of mahogany tomorrow. Anyway, but that didn't happen. So, but I'm tied up with some other work with the boat, new cabin top, fiberglass, stuff like that. Ooh, I hate fiberglass work. But anyway,
we ought to put Matt in touch with.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just to try and answer your question.
Yeah.
At the marina in Victoria where we are, it's an 8-month winter program. They kick us out May 1st, which in theory is great because you're there for 8 months and then you go cruising for 4 months, rinse and repeat.
Right.
Unless you have too many boats and, you know, too many responsibilities and stuff like that. So honestly, it's juggle one boat up.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Zephyrus is going for a haul out for 2 weeks. The Poem is going into the shed for 2 weeks. Geordi is coming down. We've taken a new slip in downtown Victoria at Fisherman's Wharf where that boat will be stored because you these boats have to be kept somewhere. And it's getting harder and harder to find moorage.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky to have two slips in Victoria. Three, actually, because Poem is going to go on yet another slip in Victoria for a while.
So, extremely lucky.
Very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's also very expensive, you know, and it's just. And many people, your viewers might even say, why is he got all these boats? And it's true. Poem was a gift I should have just sold the next day. But
obviously, Lloyd didn't want to see that happen.
He didn't want to see that happen. But he said to me, Peter, if that's what you want to do, do it. You know what I mean? He wanted to support the show. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what Poem's long-term plan will be, but I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
We're keeping it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Andrea and I are keeping it. She loves the boat, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, how many women are going to be thrilled to live on a 27-foot boat?
Yeah.
You know, with a porta potty.
Yeah.
That's going to change soon. Stay tuned.
Good for you.
So anyway, it's just a constant juggle. I think part of your question was cruising. I will take Lady Zephyrus cruising for 2 weeks this summer. She's not comfortable operating the boat full on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening.
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to actually cruise the San Juans this year.
Yeah.
We're going to cruise the San Juans.
Yay.
And further to that, she's going to bring her boat to the festival.
Oh, cool.
So we'll convoy down together.
We're going to see you at the festival then.
Yeah, Zephyrus and Poem will be at the festival this
year. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So working towards helping her be a little more autonomous with the boat. Mm-hmm. I've got it physically fixed up enough that I'm not going to have to do much more to it.
Okay.
We're best friends. We'll be best friends the rest of our life.
Great.
We had dinner with her last night. We're going to, you know, so that works out really, really well. The two boats are side by side in Victoria.
That's awesome.
But it does mean she doesn't get to cruise as much as she'd like to, but, you know, hopefully, she'll be able to feel more comfortable with that.
Hey, and then, I've had a boat for 3 years. I'm uncomfortable. Every time I want to go out, I'm like, Darren, you want to go out with me? You know, because I get nervous about driving an old wood boat myself.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know, that's part of some upcoming content. And I hear that so much. It's just, how are you so comfortable driving the boat? I said, well, I've driven a lot of boats for a long time. But at the same time, it's not as terrifying as you think, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe a little more docking, piloting, mooring kind of episodes coming for that, because people have really, a subset of people have really appreciated that.
Well, obviously that's the, once I'm out, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. So, well, that's the same as
when you're surrounded by millions of dollars of boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, my friend, Bob Bitchin, he started Latitudes and Attitudes magazine, 75,000 miles.
Wow.
And even he would say, every time I go to leave, I get those butterflies.
Really, yeah.
And he said, if you don't, then you become too complacent.
Good point.
So
very good.
It's okay to, I mean, you got to be aware of everything when you're moving your boat in and out.
Yeah.
So, and my favorite boating adage of all time,
right,
always approach the dock at the speed you wish to hit it.
Hit it, that you're willing to hit it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Very I live by. I am so slow when I...
The only people who are really annoyed with that is fuel dock operators.
Come on. Yeah. For sure.
Well, I can picture you on camera, not teaching, but just conveying your confidence in handling your boat and transferring that to the viewer, I think you'll be very good at it.
Yeah, I think, and again, it's sort of the same thing. It's like, just try, just do, you know? I know a lot of people that come into marinas, they won't come in unless there's line handlers waiting on the dock.
Yeah.
They won't leave, and these are boats with twin screws and thrusters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have the hardest boats possible to drive. Mm-hmm. One screw, no thruster, long, lots of windage. But even then, there's just tricks springing off, and, there's all kinds of techniques, and they're all bulletproof. It's not a wing and a prayer. If you pay attention, you can manage these boats in tough conditions.
That's you have to be as a boat owner, proactive to seek that kind of instruction and help, though. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there's people... including yourself that give plenty of instruction. And if you put the time in, you sell
yourself short, because I have been both on the dock and in the boat with you, and you bring the boat in just fine. You back it out just fine. Yeah. So you're doing better than you thought, or that you think you're doing.
I've had good instructors. But so now you said Lady Zephyrus knows that you won't be around forever. Right. I mean, we're all dying, but that's not what you're talking about, right?
No. Remember, some ambitious cruising someday.
That's right.
So which has become Leo's 2 years hence, right? Yeah. we'll be finished tally-ho in 2 years. I have big plans. You've probably seen it at some point. I'll reiterate it slightly for your listeners.
Please.
I love the Pacific Northwest. It's beautiful here. But I am just itchy to cruise mostly inland and coastal waters of the world. I'm not one of these offshore sailors. I'm not crossing the Pacific for 21 days is not my thing. So I'm going to take a boat or two. does radio have eyebrows? Hold on, this is live as well. That's right. It's all good.
All the eyebrows you want.
Trucked across from Vancouver to Thunder Bay, which is the westernmost port in the Canadian Great Lakes, down to Chicago, which is the headwaters of the Mississippi, down the Mississippi.
The Great Loop.
The Great Loop.
Oh, that is my...
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I mean, in all the great cities of America, I mean, I just, you know, I love the places it goes, because I'm an urban person.
Yeah.
Desolation Sound.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Right.
But if I can't get to a pub every Sunday night,
you don't want to live there.
I start to get a little twitchy, you know? So down Florida, up the intercoastal Manhattan. I mean, come on, cruising into Manhattan.
That is my wife knows. That is when I retire, we're heading for the Great Loop.
Yeah,
I want to do that so bad.
Okay, so do that a couple of times and then throw your boat on a freighter and
across the pond.
Island. Exactly.
There you go.
And then so one or both boats will end up in Europe. And
I love
the French canals, the Dutch canals, down through the bottom of France. You pop out just west of Italy, along the coast. I mean, Portofino, you know, not bad. Down around, or the other way, cross to the North Sea to Amsterdam. In through to Berlin, and you're in the Danube.
Yeah.
Follow the Danube down to the Black Sea. The north coast for the last little bit is the Ukraine, so maybe not next year.
Yeah,
but
we'll see.
Anyway, and which that alone would be extraordinary. Think of the cities
you've gone
through.
All of it sounds extraordinary.
Yeah, and then back through Greece and Croatia. Peter, then you keep doing that to the rest of your life.
I cannot wait for you to do this, and I would really appreciate it if you would establish a blueprint for me so that I can then follow in your footsteps and show my wife, because that's what she wants to do. She wants to, I mean, I didn't even think of like shipping our boat or whatever boat we have at the time across the ocean and then using it over there.
Right.
I want to see Jordy or Poem or whoever.
The big question though is, will the YouTube channel continue on these cruising adventures?
It will. It's Travels with Jordy.
Yes.
Woohoo! Right?
Good.
Now, here's the bottom line. I do 2 cruising episodes a year and they tank.
Yeah.
Oh,
my viewers want to see sawdust. Yeah. They really, really do. So you touched on something earlier that, you know, sometimes it's about the personality. I'd like to think that I, and now Andrea and I, can slowly merge the show into more of a lifestyle, living aboard, cruising show. It's going to get even worse, because in there, we're also going to take off a big chunk of time and do some serious overlanding in the Land Rover.
So, I think you're going to find a new audience. Yeah,
that's it. Some will stick around. There's people who are watching me today because they watch the old Land Rover.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Well, I know nothing about boats, but,
Darren and I are both fans. Right. We would absolutely watch you continue your journeys.
Exactly.
So there's got to be a Venn diagram of overlapping.
Exactly, And whether or not that could keep us afloat, pun intended, or not, I don't know yet. That's a risk.
Think positive, it's going to. Yeah. And for those of you that are thinking of abandoning the channel, you're still going to have to work on your boat. There'll be some sawdust.
Oh, it's nonstop. And then there'll be yet another boat eventually when I'm too old for all of that.
He's going to buy Iron Feather. So we've got it all. No.
Maybe in the meantime.
Maybe one of those Turkish wood motor sailors.
You're not that far off. Steel narrowboat.
Oh, there you go, too.
For the English canals.
Yeah. I just watched a UK boat show featuring the new canal boats. Yeah. And I love canal boats, too.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of going and cruising all the canals.
Yeah.
Also something that I was trying to convince my wife to do point.
Oh,
let's move to, England.
Just go for 2 weeks.
There's so many canals and you can, oh, it just looks like so much fun. Yeah.
By the time you take that one swoop through that beautiful French canal, of which there's thousands, lined with weeping willows both sides, and as you come around the corner, there's a little village, and so, there's just baguette everywhere.
Sold, man.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Well, that is super encouraging to hear that you have future plans for the channel, not just future plans for yourself, but you're going to share them with everybody.
Thank you.
And
keep us in the loop.
Okay, absolutely.
The great loop.
The great Peter loop.
Is exploration a big part of boating for you?
Like, absolutely. Yeah. It really is. And
why is boating better than a truck and a trailer?
Because of the unknown.
Yes.
Because a truck and a trailer, you have a map, you have a highway, you have a distance, you know when you're going to get there. You've already booked your hotel if you're going to stay there, whatever. Boating, you're a little bit vulnerable. And that vulnerability makes my fingers tingle a little bit,
It's adventure.
Like, should we, you're always watching weather windows. Should we go out? Should we go out today? Especially coastal boating, where, we stick our nose out and say, oh, this wasn't a good idea, but let's go.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a little lumpy, That plus who you're going to meet and what your experience is going to be, it's always different. Even a leg that you thought was going to be pretty dull will turn into something super interesting because someone will be walking down the dock with a banjo and you'll go, hey, you want to,
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, and I got to say, I'm not dissing RVs at all. I'm sure plenty of your listeners are RVers. Yeah. It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of fantastic, people sitting around campfires playing banjos.
Sure.
But somehow it works for me. And that when you leave the dock, there's no road. It's just, and you have a little bit more autonomy. You're more responsible for yourself. Mm-hmm. It is the investment you made in your skills, your fortitude, and your boat that's going to get you to the next place. That's different than calling CAA if something goes wrong. You call it AAA.
No, but you're totally correct.
Yeah. I just love that.
Well worded. That's what it's always been for me. It's that sense of the unknown, the sense of the adventure. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Just the change from one night to another in the same location, anchorage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You park your RV, it's going to be the same every night. I mean, it might rain.
Right.
You might have weather, but you're not going to be rocking or you're not going to have the perfect. I mean, there's always something different.
Yeah.
Plus, there's just something about water for me. Like, there's something about being on the water. Yeah. I'm in my happiest always when I'm near the ocean.
Absolutely.
It's very hard for me to live too far inland, even with lakes and rivers. I love the ocean. I love the sounds. I love the smell. I love the feeling. I love the air. And it's just that great unknown and that, I grew up on like Star Trek and Captain Kirk and Star Wars and the Millennium Falcon. And I always wanted just a vessel to explore.
Yeah.
And that's what it became for me.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, splendid.
That's awesome. Life. Yeah. It is a great life. And so now you have developed your, and situated yourself here with just a wonderful life. You have
we were talking about that.
Yeah, like from our perspective, you said, here's what I want to do. And whether it was intentional or not, or just planets aligned, you've been able to get yourself into this situation where you're living the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
And you're sharing it with people and you're educating people.
And inspiring
people. People. Yeah, absolutely. And so just kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I didn't see it coming, but I'm loving it. And I know how grateful and fortunate I am. And that's great. That's the give back part. That's the pay it forward.
Absolutely.
And I want to make sure that I continue to find ways to, you know, invigorate and enlighten.
Keep people smiling.
Yeah, keep people smiling. Yeah.
We want to make sure that you continue doing that as well.
Thanks.
And Andrea, we're very happy that you are a part of his crew now.
Yay.
And we look forward to more content coming from both of you and continued happiness and smiles on Travels with Jordy. So is there anything you would like to touch on before we wrap things up today?
Oh, yeah. Throw it back at me, damn.
I like your tangents. By the way, we don't have any limits on
keep
the
going
time.
Off on
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tangents, this is open-ended, man.
Yeah.
You know, I have, you know, I've talked about the things that I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful that the way you worded everything, it just came out. And that's, you know, make things, try things, take risks. And I think taking risks is one of the greatest things you can encourage someone to do.
Yeah.
You know, I encouraged my daughters to take risks. I encouraged young people that are in my life to take risks, because if you don't take that risk, and you know, it's a classic thing. Yeah, you'll fail sometimes, but you'll do a little better next time. And that's just it. And the brain works. I think our brain sees things differently when we take risks. And we touched briefly on, you know, future generations and skills and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm passionate about that. Mm-hmm. Trying to make sure that we can move something on. I actually was reviewing, I did a couple of episodes out of songs.
Oh God, please sing No Show for us.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but I don't know what I was trying to show someone one of them. And one of the lines, and it just came to me, it says, you know, sand, include your sons and daughters, because they'll thank you when they're older, you know? And I just remembered that. I love being a father. I love being a father, you know, and that ability, what a gift it is to be able to pass on knowledge. And I've done it literally to my two daughters and some other people. But now that I can do it through the show to a few more people, there's nothing like it, you know? So let's hope there's opportunity moving forward for lots and lots of people to do stuff like this. And hey, the internet and YouTube just made that possible.
Right? That's true.
I mean, you know, yeah. So.
Well, Peter, I didn't think I could like you anymore, but I've met you in person, I do. So thank you being here.
We're going to close a little differently.
We are going to close a little differently
than we typically do.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get into that in a moment.
All right.
Our different close. All right. I've seen you at the Port Townsend Boat Festival.
Yes.
I've seen you at some other locales. Where can people find you if they want to find you in the real world? Like, do you allow people to approach you on the boat in Victoria? Do you rather meet them at events?
That's a very good question. I've had many, many people come and visit me. Most people will contact me in advance and say, I'm going to be in Victoria on Wednesday. Could I come by, say hi? And I always welcome that.
That's cool.
Unless somehow I've missed it. I will say, and I have to say it now and then, please, I live in a community with other people that live there.
Yeah.
Please don't come and bang on the gate and say, I want to see Peter. Yeah. Because, you know, and I've had to say that two or three times, and I'm sorry to say it on your show, but it's an opportunity for me to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not super popular. I'm not Leo around the corner here with people coming by, but I do like to think that I'm not a burden to my community.
Yeah.
Okay, so to answer that, contact me. My email is in every episode at the bottom in the description. Easy to get a hold of. Always happy to meet some people. Obviously the highest density way is to meet at a show. So definitely be at the Port Townsend show this year. Definitely be at the Victoria show this year. A couple of other shows in between, possibly. Spend some time in Vancouver over the summer in False Creek, just because it's a fantastic free place to hang out in a really urban tie up to a pub. If you haven't been there, boys.
I haven't.
No, we almost did.
You gotta come.
I had the anchor permit and then weather.
Exactly.
It changed everything.
Exactly. Anyway,
we'll go again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just good. And it's one of the few harbors in Canada. Anyway, you can just drop the hook and you're right in the middle of everything.
With a permit.
Well,
for us from the United States, going to make sure we don't.
Yeah, okay, it's 2 weeks for free.
Yeah.
Well,
it is free.
Yeah.
Permit's free.
The permit's free. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The mortgage is free. They drop the hook in the bay.
Yeah,
exactly. Lots of boats have been there a lot longer than 2 months.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Again, very, very happy to meet people. Thanks for
awesome.
asking me that.
Okay, so if you want to check out Travels with Jordy yourself, you can go to travelswithjordy.com. You can go to YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, Travels with Jordy. Find him there. Lots of great content, pictures, just, you know, what's going on in their lives and so forth. So please support. Yeah, absolutely worth it. He's on, you know, I've subscribed. Hit the bell for notifications. Do all that thing. Thumbs up his videos. It's great content, and we got to keep this content growing and available for all of us out there.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah,
we are going to do a little bit of a different ending.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to cut and then back to it. Right.
And this is
they won't know.
No,
they
won't.
Well, you're not going to know.
We might be moving position. Yes. But,
I see.
So this is at the end of every episode of Travels with Jordy.
Mm-hmm.
You have the beer of the week.
Indeed.
And the word of the week.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah. and a t-shirt giveaway.
Right. So we're gonna kind of stop things down.
Yep.
We're gonna go to the fridge and we're gonna bring out a couple of local beers and we're gonna try that.
Excellent.
So now we have our beers.
And this
blinked
is
blinked out of nowhere.
Blinked out of nowhere. Boom.
This is not, we're not going to call this the beer of the week because that's your tradition.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But in reference to and in honor of Travels with Jordy, this is the beer of the podcast.
There we go.
Fabulous.
Because we don't do weekly.
No.
Right.
No, not yet.
Right, so what do we have?
Right.
First one.
I'm seeing some beautiful tall boys there. Glass bottles are so rare in Canada now. It's lovely.
Port Townsend Brewing Company.
Mm.
In the Port of Port Townsend Boat Haven.
Okay.
So next time you're at the Wooden Boat Festival.
Later this afternoon.
We'll give you a ride. Yeah. Anyway. Mm. So great stuff.
Right.
An IPA.
Shall I pour? Oh, please do.
When I heard that you wanted to do this or that you agreed to do it, that was just awesome. Because I've watched enough of these beer of the weeks.
Right.
I think it was your idea, Peter.
Well, I was... What I thought I'd do is have you guys on my beer of the week, which we're going to do, shortly after this. And so then I figured let's just figure some way around this. Well, this
it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere. Well, cheers you all. Cheers you all. Cheers you all.
I'll do the
cheers.
Cheers, Andrea.
All right.
We love our Port Townsend Brewing.
Mm-hmm. Port Townsend.
Oh, we do indeed. Oh man, that is really nice.
It's even nicer. Fresh at the source.
It is.
So, yeah.
And they have a tasting room there?
Yes.
Well, that's what you were alluding to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, festival, come get me.
And during the evenings in the summer, they have music out in the in the back, in the yard. But well, they do some good work.
That is absolutely beautiful. Lovely stuff. Thank you so much. So, you guys are going to have to run with this now. This might be a new thing, right?
Okay, so...
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
So, beer of the podcast. Yeah. Now, again, you want to go with the porter now or do our word?
We could do the word of the podcast.
Do you guys have a word of the podcast?
We have a word of the podcast.
Word of the podcast.
Okay.
And we had to think about this.
Okay. Now, this is Darren's word.
Okay.
And I'm going to learn about it as well.
The word of the podcast is multipotentialite. Multipotentialite. I got to say that again.
This is a different kind of word thing than I do. I do like happy.
Okay. Multipotentialite.
Okay.
I'm saying it correctly now. Okay. Multipotentialite, which is, of course, a form of the word multipotentiality.
Okay.
Just so you know, my suggestion for the word of the podcast was geek. So he went so far beyond me.
All right.
But then you would have stolen it from me because that's going to be my word of the week.
Multipotentiality.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an educational and psychological term referring to the ability of a person, particularly one of strong intellectual or artistic curiosity, to excel in multiple fields of endeavor.
I feel like you're referencing somebody here.
This word was chosen carefully.
Yes.
Man, I'm going to have to get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Kiss me. I'm multipotential.
You're a multipotential.
I don't even know what the word is still. What is it?
Multipotentialite.
Are you going to be able to write that down for me?
I know.
I'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Multipotentialite.
Well, you, sir, are a multipotentialite. I hope that's a compliment.
I'm feeling more multipotentiality than every minute.
With every
the
sip.
Multipotentiality of the moment. Yeah.
All right. So let's finish our IPA and then we can try the.
Oops, I already did.
Yep. The porter.
Okay.
Now, Darren said you're an IPA fan.
I am indeed.
Okay. I'm a porter and nut brown.
Excellent. Fan, excellent.
So that's why we opted for a porter.
And I wanted to say to Lady Zephyrus.
Yes.
I'm a wheat beer fan.
Right. All right. As she is.
Yes.
As she is. Exactly. Now, I
so cheers to you.
Was a stout fan for the longest time. I drank nothing but Guinness for a decade or
almost.
Well, because I just lived in and practically lived in an Irish pub in Montreal. I grew up, you know. Okay. And
thank you, sir.
But I never really transferred that to porter. So I'm actually not very well knowledgeable in porter. So a little education will go.
Yeah, Mr. Porter man.
I know nothing about porter. Is okay, it just a dark beer? I mean, what?
It's a darker beer.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. It's probably between stout right. and nut,
right.
like the nut browns.
Right.
And it was originally brewed to keep the dock workers,
right?
The porters happy.
See where you're going with
keep
that.
Keep them right. so porters make us happy.
Right. This makes exactly. us happy. Exactly. Cheers again, guys.
Well, I'm going to wait a second until okay. yeah. the porter guy can have a sip with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
All here's right. to keeping dock
here's
workers
to keeping
happy.
Dock workers happy. I like the sound of that.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
I like the history. I feel like the history of
the best porter I ever had.
A little sweeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, I feel like the history of beer and ale has a lot to do with sailing and boats.
Well, it's the basis right? of yeah. human civilization.
Isn't that what we ate back then? Like
no,
that was our food.
That's what we transitioned as a species from hunter gatherers to farmers because we needed to year round make sure we had the hops and the barley and the malt. I mean, it's why civilization began, is so we could make beer.
Well, cheers to that as well.
Wow, this is getting better and better. I got to use that.
I just made that up.
Oh, so you podcasters, you have different rules.
All right. Well, that was the Boat Geeks podcast with a beer of the podcast, a word of the podcast. Thanks to Darren and our lovely guest, Peter Knowles and Travels with Jordy and Andrea. Thank you for being here. That is a wrap.
Yeah.
Guys.
Well, thank you very
thank
much,
you, Peter.
It's really been a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it.
Likewise. And we hope we can have you back.
Sure thing.
We'll see you at the Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival for sure in September.
Indeed, yeah. Absolutely. All right. Yeah. All right. That's it. Cheers. Thank you, guys. I'm daydreaming of a day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive. Sail away. I'ma sail away. Like being in the sunshine. Waking me up on the bright side. Living for a better day. I'ma sail away. Yeah, I try to to the fullest, there's beauty in everything. I try to notice holograms form from the wind through the trees. There's gotta be more in this world left for me. Sing hallelujah from the basement floor. And I'm still holding out for so much more. Oh, I'm daydreaming of the day. I'm not in this too deep. Sing hallelujah on the basement floor. Yeah, I'm still holding out for so much more. Yeah, I'm daydreaming of the day. I'm not wasting my time. Don't wait till I come alive.